Blog Talk Radio. Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masses. Break it down!
Live. I'm Adam, joined by Zach and Boomer. The gang's all here to talk football, baseball, basketball, hockey, whatever you guys want to talk about. Our call-in number is 347-326-9133. Got a lot to talk about. Obviously, Championship Sunday was yesterday. Today's Monday, January 25th. The first game was exciting, and the second game was kind of a blow up. We'll get into both. Obviously, the local team's not involved, and I don't remember the last time we were on the air. I think it was. I'm assuming it was during the regular season. Must have been. But we'll do a little recap of the past few weeks in the NFL season and playoffs. We'll talk a little baseball. Mets making a splash, keeping one of their best offensive players, but at what cost? And we'll talk about the Knicks, who have struggled the past couple of games, but have turned it around overall this season. So let's start, obviously, with the NFL. Let's start by breaking down the games yesterday. Obviously, the Broncos winning by two over the favored Patriots in a bit of a pretty big upset, I would say. Zach, what were your thoughts on the game yesterday afternoon?
Adam, yes, what a game it was. In the Mile High Stadium, you know, I was really impressed by the fans there. They were really, really loud. Not that I expected otherwise, but they were very loud and impressive and really spurred on the defense, which really was the story, the Denver defense getting hit after hit, with the pressure on Tom Brady. They were just knocking him down left and right. I think he was knocked down about 20 times, which is, I think, a record for him in one game. And even though he delivered the ball in, you know, under 2 seconds every time he threw it, they got on him so quickly, which, of course, prompted, say, the Patriots to fire their offensive line coordinator Dave DeGelomo, however you pronounce that.
Did they really?
Unfortunately, yeah, they did. They did, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So,
breaking news by Zach here.
This is today. Just today.
Wait, what happened?
They fired their offensive line coach.
Oh, rightfully so.
Yeah. He was there 2 years in that position, but it was an ugly day for the offensive line and tough day for Tom Brady and leading to the loss. I mean, obviously a big moment, which I talked to you guys about while we were watching the game through our texting, was the missed extra point by Kwiatkowski. He had made over 500 consecutive. I told you guys that may come back to hurt them, and it was huge down the stretch, Adam.
Couple of issues I want to get to specifically, but Umar, what were your general thoughts on the Patriots-Broncos game yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, major props on the D-Generation X intro song. That actually fits perfectly as to what we're doing, so great
Thanks.
Job on that.
Hopefully we don't get banned.
Basically it's what you guys said. Offensive line versus defensive line has been Denver Broncos. I think offensive line gave out, and that was really it. The way you beat Tom Brady in the playoffs, it's been proven time and time again, is to hit him, whether he's releasing the ball, before he releases the ball, just get to Tom Brady. And if you have the defensive line like Denver had, Denver wasn't even sending in blitzes. They actually sent in the least amount of blitz percentage plays than ever in this entire season. And they still got to Tom Brady because of how terrible the offensive line was. So, I mean, great job by Denver's defense. You talk about Denver's defense, okay? They're incredible. Number one defense in the league. You talk about these Pro Bowlers, Aqib Talib, and Von Miller is incredible. And just, you know, DeMarcus Ware was all over Tom Brady. This is a great, great team. And they got to Brady, and that's how you win.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's any secret. If you get, specifically if you get interior pass rush on Brady, he's going to panic. He's not mobile. He can't really run outside the pocket to make a play, although he was forced to make a couple plays with his feet yesterday, but that's not his game, obviously. He's a classic pocket passer, and when you disrupt the pocket in the interior, that's going to disrupt him. So early in the game, that's what happened. And then the Patriots adjusted by concentrating a little bit more on protecting the interior of that line, but that in turn allowed the outside pass rushers to make more of a difference in the second half. So long story short, the Denver defensive line won the battle in the trenches yesterday. Tom Brady made that we'll talk about the interception later, but Tom Brady made one interception that was ultimately proved pretty costly. Peyton Manning, on the other hand, no picks, two touchdowns. I'll throw this one at you guys. Did you think Peyton Manning, was a contributor yesterday, or more of a more of the mindset and just not to mess up?
No. Look, Peyton Manning, I mean, it's not a surprise anymore, okay? Peyton Manning's now a damage control type of quarterback. He's someone who's not going to blow the game. That's his job. Denver's defense is so good that that's what's going to keep them in games. That's what's going to win some games for them. Manning's job is to make sure he doesn't blow a game, and that's what he did yesterday. Denver's defense stepped up, and also first of all, it was a great ending to that game. And I think
all right,
what
but
was
do you think he did a little bit more? Don't you think he did
no,
a little bit more than
no.
just not blow it?
No.
Two
no,
touchdowns?
I don't think he did. I think he did not blow it. He did a sufficient job. He didn't do a spectacular job. He wasn't, you know, it's an all-time epic performance by Manning. But Manning, he just didn't blow the game, which is exactly what he's supposed to do.
All right, Zach, your thoughts?
Yeah, Adam, I didn't think – I thought early on he looked really good, you know. That touchdown pass to Owen Daniels was nicely thrown. I'm just watching it now. By the end of the game, when the Denver Broncos either put this game away, he couldn't make a pass to really save his life at that point. He had a really tough time with that. So I feel like at the end of the game, he didn't do much to help at all and really seal the deal. But look, like you were saying, you know, he didn't blow it. He didn't throw any interceptions. He didn't fumble the ball. He didn't make a really dumb play like we saw Carson Palmer make several in the other game. So, you know, he just did the job. And will it be enough? Will it be enough to win this game? Will it be enough in the next game? I don't know. But it was just enough to win yesterday.
Right. I agree with that, Zach. Umer, I think you got to give him a little bit more credit than just saying he didn't blow it because, you know, he didn't throw any interceptions, and that's a good job by him. I know it's hard to, like, draw the line here, but I think he did a little bit more than what's typically required of him in order for the team to win. And I think he's obviously – it's obviously a feel-good story. You're going to root for the guy. This probably will be – I think it will be his last game, win or lose.
I agree.
Hopefully he goes out, you know, I don't know, we'll probably repeat the Super Bowl at another point, hopefully, but hopefully he goes out let's hope he doesn't embarrass himself in the Super Bowl. That's basically what it comes down to. Next issue, how big of a deal are you guys making about the mix? I don't want to spend too much time on about the missed extra point. You think Gostkowski deserves a lot of the blame, little blame, no blame? What are your thoughts on that, Zach?
No, he definitely deserves some blame. I mean, look, this guy, I mean, yes, this guy has been, he probably is one of the best kickers, if not the best kicker in football right now. But, you know, he needs to, you know, but it's his job. He needs to make the 33-yard kick. He's not all year. He was 60 for 60 going in this season. And, it proves to be very costly. Hey, look, he's done a lot of great things for them. He deserves a lot of credit for the great things he's done for them, not only over the course of this year, like his getting at the Giants, making that 55-yarder when he was prior, the big prior, but yesterday, I think.
Oh, yeah, he definitely won the game for them. Do you know the last time he missed an extra point was?
I mean, I knew it was 500 tries, so I can't.
It was his rookie season 9 years ago. Missed extra point in his career. It was 9 years ago. Obviously, the extra point moved back, but, still pretty crazy.
Also, that's a record. Don't forget, that's a record that we saw that's never going to be broken again. No kicker, because of now that the field goal point after is a lot further, no kicker is ever going to touch his record for most consecutive point afters made.
That's true.
Interesting enough, Belichick was the one that pushed to get the extra point pushed back. He was like one of the biggest supporters of it. So at the end of the day, it may have come back to hurt him. Belichick, I didn't think of a great day overall, Adam. I don't know what you feel about his coaching as he came. How about not
going
for the field goal?
That was my next question.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that, Adam? We'll turn it on you.
it's tough. They ended up going for three times on fourth down. Obviously, I don't think Belichick anticipated that he would have that many opportunities in the red zone. I think he was planning on it being, he respected the Denver defense. He definitely respected the defense, and he wanted to take advantage as much as possible when they were in the red zone. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for him. If you want to get on him for the going for it in fourth and one with 6 minutes left, I can buy that argument. I won't get on him that much for doing that, though, because, they were down eight. The Denver defense was playing generally pretty well. They ended up getting the ball back two more times after that, but you had no idea you would get the ball back after that. So I didn't really have a major problem with that, although I can definitely see you arguing otherwise.
Yeah, for me, I really didn't think that much about it. I thought that they were going to go for it, from Dumb Street. But, now that people have talked about it, I guess I could see the reasoning why it'd be helpful to go for it. And it was a 33-yard kick, turned down with six minutes to go. That could have made it a 5-point game. And, of course, give him a chance to win on the touchdown at the end.
Yeah.
But, of course, you can't play that game. But, yeah, I guess I agree with them going for it, actually. I was okay with it, even though they were down eight and there were 6 minutes left. I was still okay with it because I thought their defense, the Patriots' defense, doing a really good job in the fourth quarter. I thought they'd get more chances if they didn't convert, which they did. And you know what? They took to the last try from the final get the touchdown, which they got, but they couldn't convert the two-point conversion, and that was that.
Yeah, I really – it's hard for me to say to defend Belichick, but if I was a Jets fan and this was a Jets game and they didn't go for it and they ended up losing, I would have been more upset.
Right.
I mean, it's a little bit different because obviously if you're down nine, then you kick the field goal there. But since you're down eight, I think it was an okay decision. Obviously, it didn't work out, but the more I think about it, the more I'm kind of thinking Belichick might have been so upset with Gostkowski. He just didn't want him to kick any more field goals. Because at that point, there was no guarantee he was going to make it either.
Right.
So that might have been his mindset, too, because they were in field goal range a few times, and they ended up going for it on fourth down, which ultimately cost them the game because their defense was unbelievable in the second half, and they gave them so many opportunities. I think Belichick made some mistakes. I don't think he was as consistent as he normally is. Even for the first time, he decided to receive on the kickoff, on the coin toss, which is like, I don't think the last time he's done that. So a little different game planning from Belichick, but overall, I'm not going to get on him for going for it on those fourth downs. Umar, you have any thoughts on that? Or?
No, not on that, but I just want to shout out one more thing. Let's not just forget, even though the Patriots lost this, what an incredible job by Rob Gronkowski. There were two plays, that fourth down bomb he threw to him. And this is after Gronkowski slipped on the sideline, was out for a couple of plays because he tweaked himself a little bit. They threw a bomb on fourth down with the season on the line, and he made this miraculous catch, unbelievable catch. And then on the fourth down and goal, Brady was hit. He just lobbed it up there for Gronkowski, and Gronkowski, again, made an incredible play. So, I mean, you're not going to talk about this too much because they lost the game.
But it just goes to show you how big of a beast my man Rob Gronkowski is.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of disappointed. I was kind of shocked they didn't pass it to him on the 2-point conversion attempt.
I
thought they would do like some type of fade in the back of the corner of the end zone, because I mean, he's the one who got you there. You might as well throw it to him. And I think there was actually, it was tight coverage, but it was single coverage, and they were throwing to him in
double
coverage.
Single coverage.
I didn't really understand that. I think Brady probably should have just gone back to the guy who was doing most of the damage at that point. But Brady didn't have his best game. That interception was kind of proved pretty costly. So. All right, so basically, Patriots lose in an upset. Broncos get to the Super Bowl for the second time in three years, right? Is it the second time in 3 years? I think so.
Yep. When was the one in New Jersey? When was that?
You're
right.
That was 2 years ago.
Second time in 3 years.
You know, good job. I mean, you can make an argument Peyton Manning's tenure in Denver was better than his tenure as a Colt.
Right.
Just because of his, but obviously he's had a better team this year, and this is probably the best defense he's ever had. So,
you know what's absurd? Look at Peyton Manning. The guy has gone to 4 Super Bowls, and each of the Super Bowls is with a different coach. What does that tell you about Peyton Manning and his ability to maneuver a team? 4 different coaches for Peyton Manning to go to the Super Bowl.
I mean, I think we all know he's a Hall of Fame, top 5 quarterback. Well, maybe not top 5. Actually, would it be a top 5? I don't know. Let's sidetrack for a second. All right, Brady, Montana, Unitas. Those are my top 3, not in any particular order. Then who do you put in that top 5, guys?
Elway?
No.
You can make an argument for Elway, but would you put Elway or Manning? They both won. How many did Elway win?
Like 3, I think. I think 3.
He won 3.
All right.
Well, I don't think we're equipped enough to have this discussion.
Yeah, I'm with ourselves right now. But if you want to call in and voice your opinion, please do so.
All right. So Denver in the Super Bowl, they will be playing Carolina. I don't really want to talk that much about this game. I mean, about the NFC Championship game, because it was kind of a blowout. Moral of the story, Carson Palmer didn't show up. Cam Newton is Superman, and the Carolina defense is for real, and you can make an argument that it might even be better than Seattle was a couple of years ago, the way they're playing. So it should give fits to Denver. Did you guys watch the whole game, or did you kind of shut it off in the second half?
I guess I was fairly focused on it. I was in the net a little bit more towards like the fourth quarter. But, I mean, you know, Palmer just looked completely overwhelmed. You know, he did not look good last week, which really led me to believe that Carolina was going to win this game very easily. I thought maybe he would play a little bit better. I mean, he couldn't play any worse. 6 turnovers, 4 interceptions. I think there were 2 in the end zone. I mean, just completely let him down. You know, turned into the Palmer that we've known for many years from his days in Cincinnati. So, ugly, ugly performance. Meanwhile, Newton is just a superstar and continues to just amaze people with his amazing abilities, not only throw the ball, but run as well. He's just got a cannon. They're just such a dynamic offense, as we were saying during the game. They're really fun to watch, really enjoyable. So you hope that they can continue to amaze in the Super Bowl. And, it'll be fun if it's a nice high-scoring game. But overall, Carolina just dominated this one, and they looked really easy.
I saw the entire game because I really like Carolina. Big Carolina fan. Is this a changing of the guards here for quarterbacks? Because you're talking about now. I mean, you look at quarterbacks from the NFC that went to the Super Bowl over the last 4 years. Running quarterbacks, something that you never used to see in the past. Kaepernick.
Right.
Wilson twice, and now Newton. So that's one thing to think about is what's going on now with the quarterback situation. And is this a new sheriff in town with Cam Newton? This guy is unbelievable. Only quarterback ever to go 100-plus yards and 2 rushing touchdowns in one game in a playoff game. A slurry of records just being set by him. He's really entering his prime, and he's becoming an incredible player from that draft class. By the way, if you guys want to see something great, go look at the draft class that Cam Newton was selected in, because that was probably the best draft class, the best top 15 to 16 picks you will ever see in any draft. It's not even a question. So that's incredible. But, yeah, it's exciting to see what's going on with this quarterback situation and see, is this a new face of the NFL? Now, on the AFC side, it's literally Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Roethlisberger for literally the last 15 years of coming out of there. But from the NFC side, there's a lot of parity here. There's a lot of new faces here, and it's good to see, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, that's an interesting issue there, or topic you just brought up. The landscape of the quarterbacks in the NFL at this point, Manning obviously on his last leg might not stay for next season. Brady, we know, is still great, and he plans to play for a couple more years at least. Other than those two in the AFC, though, I mean, you got Andrew Luck, who had a disappointing season. You hope he bounces back.
Rodgers.
Big Ben's still very good. Other than those two, you know, Flacco has won a couple Super Bowls, but AFC quarterback situation not that great. Blake Bortles might took a step this year. Maybe he takes another step next year. I don't really know. Derek Carr also. So the future of the quarterbacks in the AFC probably will be reliant on the likes of the Derek Carr, Blake Bortles, and Andrew Luck. NFC, I agree. It's very exciting. I mean, you're going to have Cam Newton and Russell Wilson for a long time, and those are obviously two of the more exciting players. And look for Kaepernick to have a bounce back here next year with Chip Kelly in town. So, interesting little dichotomy between the AFC and NFC in terms of how the quarterbacks operate. The better quarterbacks in the NFC seem to be more of the dual threat type. Probably just coincidence, but they've had success. So I think, to give a little preview, I do think Carolina will ride Cam Newton to a Super Bowl victory, but it should be it's kind of interesting. That's a good point, Umar. I didn't really think about that because the AFC really not – no one back. That's why there's going to be more parity in the AFC over the next few years, I think, because I think NFC will still be dominated by Carolina and Seattle for the most part.
Honestly, there better be. If you look at literally since 2003, it's been about 15 years. Roethlisberger, Brady, and Manning have been in every single Super Bowl except for one that Flacco was in. That was it.
Yeah.
Literally, it's like 16 out of 17. So hopefully, you know, maybe the
Flacco
Jets. Who knows? Well, yeah, Flacco was only in one. The one a few years ago.
I thought he won two Super Bowls.
No. He only won that one.
Oh, yeah, I guess. All right. Never mind.
Well, since we're probably not going to do another show before the Super Bowl, we might as well just make our picks. The game's 13 days away. Carolina right now, only a 4-point favorite. As I actually somewhat predicted the other day. I know you guys are thinking probably a little bit more than that. I think we're rolling to go with this, but we'll start with Umar. Umar, who do you go to win the Super Bowl? And Carolina or Denver?
I don't think it should be higher than 4 points. I think it's going to be a very tight game. I do not see a repeat of what happened with Denver and Seattle. I know Carolina is completely rolling it, but this Denver defense is way better than the Denver defense that played against Seattle. This Denver defense is literally incredible with the things that they do. So it's going to be a tight game. I still want, and I think Carolina is going to come out on top, but I think, you know, Peyton's not going to be embarrassed out of this show. I think it'll be a final score of 24-21, Carolina over Denver.
Adam, what do you think?
I think it was Carolina's team of destiny. The one argument you can make, honestly, is that their strength of schedule is so bad, they literally beat no one formidable in the AFC this year. They played the AFC South, so they don't really have much experience playing some of the better AFC teams, but I do think the NFC was the better conference this year, so I think the best in that conference will beat the best in the AFC, and I just don't think Peyton Manning has the ability to keep this a close game. I think Carolina might jump out on top. Luke Kuechly seems to score a touchdown every single week. I wouldn't be surprised if he scores another one in the Super Bowl.
So I'm thinking it could be a kind of a bit of a blowout, like a 31-14 type game. Hopefully it's close in the first half, but
wow.
I can see this game getting away from Denver.
I think, you know, this game, like Boomer was saying, is going to be a little closer, definitely closer than that. I think through three quarters, it's going to be a tight game. You're not really sure who's going to win it. But I think in the fourth quarter, Carolina will sort of pull away a little bit. And I have them winning by 10 points. A little bit of a high scoring game. 38-28, Carolina. So they're over
shootout. A major wild card that we're not thinking about, though. Thomas Davis, who is probably, besides Kuechly, and Cam Newton, probably the best player on the team. He broke his arms in yesterday's game against Arizona. He broke his arm. He says that he's going to play the Super Bowl, even though he just had surgery and broke his arm. So I really don't know if he'll be able to play. But that's a huge difference maker on the defense. Carolina's defense hinges on Kuechly and Thomas Davis. Now, if you don't have Thomas Davis, you're significantly weaker. So it's something to keep your eye out on.
Yeah, I think he's a good player. I don't know if he's I think they're just very deep, and I think their defensive line is going to just give Peyton Manning fits all day. I think this defensive line is much better than New England's defensive line. So I think Peyton Manning is going to be running for his life. And, I think their secondary is good enough. Josh Norman's a good player. The rest are okay. Charles Tillman's a good veteran. And Luke Kuechly's, like, I didn't know how good this guy was until I actually started watching a few games. He is unbelievable. He's probably one of the fastest
amazing
players on the field, too. He is so fast, great in coverage, and a great tackler. He's the solo package.
I don't think it's unfair to say that. Honestly, in my opinion, besides J.J. Watt, Kuechly and Thomas Davis are the two best linebackers in the league. I'm just going to go out and say it.
Well, Watt's not a linebacker, so.
Yeah, no, Kuechly and Davis are. No, Davis plays linebacker, and Kuechly's a linebacker.
Yeah, but you said J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt's all over.
He doesn't play linebacker. His hand's always in the ground.
I don't know. I consider him a linebacker still.
You consider J.J. Watt a linebacker?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on. I think that's it, right? The NFL's covered?
Yeah. Sounds good.
All right. Rangers won tonight, 6-3. Finally.
They've been very back and forth in terms of their wins-losses right lately. It's just win-lose, 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 literally. Like, it's been like almost like that for the last 12 or so games. But they seem to be finding their own a little bit. Tonight's win today going to the break. So now they're off for a while, I think, the end of the week. So, you know, get some players some rest, hopefully get some players healthier that either are playing or not playing. Like we keep saying, you know, I think it's all about how they play, not only down the stretch, but also come playoff time. So that's where it really counts for them. You know, they're a perennial, playoff team. They get far every year, but haven't quite, you know, reached climbed the top of the mountain and won the Stanley Cup. So, you hope that today is a big step for them as they head to the break, and they keep winning and hopefully go all the way. But, you know, only time will tell. It's all on one course, really.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about hockey in the playoffs. I don't think anyone really cares until the playoffs start.
If I could just get one quick sentence in, the Rangers this year up to this many games are 1 point less than they were last year up to this many games when they won the President's Trophy. So, does that mean that they're going to be the best team in the league at the end of the year? I'm not saying that, but yeah, they are. So it's something to keep your eye out for.
God, it's going to be pretty hard catching the Capitals at this point. They're already 14 points behind Washington, and Washington has played three less games than New York. So that's going
to
be
tough.
Can
I just say, if we could go back to the NFL for just 1 second, just that draft to Cam Newton, I'm just looking at it again, and it's actually better than I actually thought.
Why don't you go through it real quick?
Let me just blow right quickly. Number one pick was Cam Newton, who's a Pro Bowler at grade. Number two, who's also going to play in the Super Bowl, was Von Miller, who's the great defensive player on the Denver Broncos, who's also a Pro Bowler. Then the Bills took Marcell Dareus, who actually went to a Pro Bowl. The Bengals then took A.J. Green, who's a great receiver, Pro Bowler. Then the Cardinals took Patrick Peterson, who's one of the best cornerbacks in the league, Pro Bowler. Then the Falcons took Julio Jones, who's obviously a wide receiver, one of the best in the league. Then San Francisco took Aldon Smith, who was a Pro Bowler when he was playing. Tennessee took Jake Locker, which is unfortunate. Dallas Cowboys took Tyron Smith, who's a Pro Bowler. The Jaguars took Blaine Gabbert. Texans took J.J. Watt, who's a Pro Bowler. The Vikings took Christian Ponder. The Lions took Fairley. The Rams took Robert Quinn, who's a Pro Bowler. Miami took Mike Pouncey, who's a Pro Bowler. And the Redskins took Ryan Kerrigan, who's a Pro Bowler. Out of the top 16, there were only four that – Muhammad Wilkerson was in that draft. Cameron Jordan, Mark Ingram, Andy Dalton, Kyle Rudolph. Oh, man. Randall Cobb was in it. Randall Cobb, DeMarco Murray. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Killer.
Pretty good draft, I guess. Moral of the story, I think, don't take a quarterback if you don't want, if you don't need one at that point. Because Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder could have had some Pro Bowl, Hall of Fame type players, those teams. And unfortunate for them. All right. I was going to go to the NBA, but I actually want to talk baseball. Zach, I want to hear your take, being the Mets insider. You're basically a shareholder at this point. What do you think of Yo coming back to the Big Apple?
Hey, it's great, Adam. It's really great. I'm very, very happy. The Mets listen to their fans, listen to talk radio. They were calling for days saying the Mets need to get this guy. They need the power. They need him on this team. He needs to be there. They lost Murphy. He was talking to the Nationals. Mets fans could not imagine, including myself, could not imagine him and Murphy both playing on the Nationals. Two guys who literally were the heroes for the Mets down the stretch and the playoffs. So very, very happy that you're able to get him. 3 years. 75 or so million, you know, with a one-year buyout if he wants. I mean, really thrilled, you know, because there's so many questions on this team, even after, of course, winning the World Series or going to the World Series last year. God forbid they won it. You know, who knows how well Conforto's going to play. You know, he had a great end of the year and was very good in the playoffs, but who knows how he's going to play in his first really full season in the big leagues. Juan Lagares has had a bad elbow all year. Didn't get surgery on it. Who knows how he's going to play. Randerson was amazing last year. Amazing. Maybe the team MVP. Probably the team MVP, at least from the offensive standpoint. But, you know, what if he gets hurt? Well, what if he's not as productive and they need, you know, someone else to help on the bench? David Wright, maybe the biggest question mark. Who knows how well he's going to play? Coming back from his spinal stenosis, who knows how old he's going to be? Is he going to be able to play every day? Is he going to miss a month to rest? You know, you just don't know. So, you know, there are many more questions. You know, Pulecki and, Darnell and Duda and consistency and the shortstop situation. So many questions. But, you know, more than anything, the Mets need some protection from the right-hand side of the plate, and now they have it in Yoenis Céspedes. You know, yeah, he doesn't do everything that you love as a fan. He doesn't sometimes run things out. There's no way to seem like he's focused on the game. He, you know, could be a little lackadaisical in the outfield, as we've seen. I'm saying the same thing over and over again. But more than anything, you know, he's that power guy that can get you back into the game with one swing of the bat and can, you know, be just a bopper in the middle that you need to support the rest of your lineup. And someone that will give more confidence to the pitchers and the rest of the lineup. So, big move by the Mets. Very happy. Moves that show, you know, that they need to make to show that they're not a small market team in New York. You felt like they were a small market team in New York when teams like the Royals and the Mariners and the Blue Jays had more money spent on their players than that. It just felt embarrassing. So they did what they had to do. They got sets for this. Really, really thrilled about that, Adam.
Right. Obviously, huge move for the Mets, getting, you know, most of their second-half offense back in this signing in a fairly team-friendly deal. They're paying him a lot of money, but not a lot of years, which is great for them.
Yes.
And it could end up being a one-year deal, but it'll be worth it.
Which is fine.
If it does end up
fine.
Being a one-year deal, then that means he had a great year. So, great signing by the Mets. It saves them a top prospect of offense. My question for you, Zach, is how does this work now in the outfield? I mean, I think they're going to give Conforto the everyday left field job, at least to start. Granderson, you like being an everyday player in right field, although I have a feeling he might dip this year, but you still pencil him in as of now in
absolutely.
The right field position. Céspedes is going to have to play a lot of center field. And I know the Mets also wanted to give
Lagares more of a chance this year to show his worth. He played a little bit better in the end of the season last year. Obviously, defensively, he's great. They ended up getting DeAzo, too, to back up in the outfield. So how does this work now in the outfield? It seems to be a little bit of a logjam.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? The Mets right now are a win-now team. They have one of the best rotations in baseball. They have so much young talent on the field, outside
and
best
starter.
Of course. Yeah, the lineup, lineup is great. The bullpen is solid. The lineup is, the lineup is now good with Cespedes in there. The Mets are a win-now team. These pitchers are not going to be around forever. There's no way the Mets are going to be able to afford DeGrom, Syndergaard, Javi, Matt Wheeler when they're, 4 or 5 years and they're all, all are asking for big money. Maybe they'll keep one or two, but definitely not all five. So for the time being, while they still have these guys under control, they are a win-now team. So it's all hands on deck, So if Lagares doesn't play that much this year, he doesn't play that much this year. Unfortunately, he let the Mets down last year. They gave him a lot of money the year before, and his first year on that deal went terribly. And, the Mets may end up paying for that. But you know what? If they have Cespedes playing out center field and doing a great job, it won't matter. So as of now, I see Conforto in the opening day lineup. I see Conforto playing left, Cespedes playing center, and Granderson playing right. Obviously, Lagares will be there to fill in for all three of them, as will DeAzo. And he'll go from there. So that's why I see it right now. Mets got to win now, stay up their best player from the field at every given time.
Yep, good problem to have for the Mets.
Absolutely.
NBA, Umer, how good is Steph Curry?
He's unbelievable, Al. He's unbelievable. I think he's – look, I'm going to say this. Of all the players I've ever seen play, I didn't see Michael Jordan play in his prime. Of all the players I've ever seen play, including LeBron James or Kobe Bryant, Melo, and whatever you want to say, there is no one I've seen who plays as well or as astounding as Steph Curry does. This guy, no one has the unlimited range Steph Curry has. No one has the great ball handling ability combined with it. This guy is honestly, I'll be honest with you, we're fortunate because we're in an era in which we just talked about how football is becoming more of a rushing quarterback. New guard with Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, which is a lot more exciting football. And we're also getting a lot more exciting basketball with Steph Curry, who's hitting shots from, mid-court routinely and things like that. Today's game, though, the game that's going on right now, which hopefully we can get a live update from, is unbelievable. Because while the Golden State Warriors are threatening the Bulls' all-time record, 72 wins, Spurs are only 2 games behind them. They're quietly dominating this season as well. It's insane. And you talk about the Spurs with Kawhi Leonard stepping in, Aldridge, who's comfortable taking a back seat at the type of level that he plays in, David West off the bench. That's an awesome team as well. And I really can't wait until the Western Conference Finals when it's going to be a rematch. Tim Duncan's going to be playing.
Barring injuries, you think the one of these two teams is going to be the championship champions this year? I mean, it has to be the Warriors.
Absolutely. Well, honestly, don't count the Spurs out, because the Spurs, who are only 2 games worse than the Warriors, while they bench their team in half their games with a really good young coach.
No one can guard Steph Curry. No one can
guard
him.
He's unbelievable.
You can double team him. He'll find. He'll run around, jump at a 25 feet out, and he'll hit a little switch. He's unbelievable. I agree. Knicks, Zach, great game against the Jazz. We were there in the press box. Now, they've struggled the past couple of games, 2 games under 500. It seems like they just can't get above 500. It's very frustrating.
Can't get over the hump there. And the thing is, Adam, if it wasn't for Melo hitting that shot against Philly, and wasn't for Derek Williams' incredible effort against the Jazz, this could be a 4-game losing streak we're talking about. So, or even longer, depending on what happened the game before that, which I can't recall at the moment. But yeah, they're teeming around the edge there.
Grizzly.
But thankfully, the Eastern Conference has come a little bit back to earth, just a little bit back to earth. And so, now they're where these losses, they're okay. But their schedule is not easy. Their schedule is not easy coming up. This week they have a very tough week. They start tomorrow off with the OKC, and then they go to Toronto back to the next day. They come home and play Phoenix, a team that definitely should be at home on Friday, and then finish the week off Sunday night with the Warriors coming to town. So this could be a rough week for them. So I would definitely sign for 2-2 right now. As of now, they stand the ninth spot, two games back of both Indiana and Detroit for the eighth spot. But it's so tight right where they are. They have a tough week. All of a sudden, they're down to 9, 10, 11, 13 in the conference. So this is a pivotal time for them right before this All-Star break, you know, trying to find themselves again. They're very inconsistent at this point. They either look really, really good or they look really, really bad. So, you know, Melo's a little banged up. Porzingis a little banged up. They need the break, but unfortunately, they have to wait two more weeks for that to happen. So hopefully they can, you know, salvage this week as best they can and get to the break and get a little healthier and make another push to the postseason, Adam.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we all bought into the hype a little bit early, I think. I think they're a much better team than last year, obviously.
Yes.
Porzingis, obviously going to be a great player for the Knicks franchise for the next few years. However, this team this season, I don't know. It's going to be tough getting into the playoffs. And
yes,
even if they do, I don't think they really have any tools to get past the first round. So, well, you know what? That's good, though. Get as far as possible in this season because they don't have a first-round pick. So do as well as they can.
Right.
And next year, I guess, we'll check out the free agent market and add some help. But I mean,
yeah, they definitely have
right, if the season ends today, it's been a, yeah, if the season ends today, it's pretty much a success. They already have more wins than last year. So,
yeah,
I don't really have that much to add. I mean, it was a great game against the Utah Jazz, which was terrific, but yeah, they keep losing to Milwaukee. They just can't beat Milwaukee. I don't know what's going on with them.
Can't beat Milwaukee. Have a tough time with Charlotte. You know, and those are the teams I have to beat.
Yeah, Charlotte. Charlotte's the team. Yeah.
Yeah.
They can't Orlando. Beat Charlotte.
I don't think that Walker just torches New York. He just does. He just beats up on them because, you know, they're surrounding the area. And, you know, Washington, the team that's behind them right now, are technically tied in the games back column. But I feel like they're a team that's ready to take off at any moment. So, you know, they're a team that could jump ahead at any moment and be one that they're going to have to fight with. Miami coming back to earth a little bit. They have a lot of injuries. Hopefully it's fun down the track. That's all I could ask for. A fun finish to the year. If they fall just short, okay. But you just hope they stay competitive, which they've been all year. And Umar, you know, hopefully, you know, they can just finish the season strong and not fall off the wayside.
Look, while you guys are looking in the rearview mirror and afraid of, you know, Washington and not beating Charlotte, I'm looking ahead. And they're actually only 3 games out from being the 5th seed, okay? So is it inconceivable for if they're chasing one team in the 8th seed and not going to catch it? Fine. But from 5 to 8, all of those teams are within reach. And honestly, even Chicago is only 4 games ahead. And even Atlanta is 4.5 ahead. It's not like there's some incredible disparity that the Knicks aren't going to be able to make. I think they could squeeze in, and they're getting better. The Porzingis is improving every single day compared to what he was in the beginning of the season. The bench is really coming to fruition. Aflalo has been a revelation since he's came back. And the Knicks have played a lot better since they have this whole new team with Aflalo and Porzingis playing better. And if Melo was healthy, obviously, they were in a little bit of a slump before because Melo missed a bunch of games. So, honestly, I think the Knicks are a team that is a threat here in the East. I think that they can make it to the playoffs. And, they're probably going to lose in the first, or maybe if they get past the first or second round. But that's fine. I'm totally happy with what the Knicks have done this year. It's exciting. It's fun.
All right, good recap, guys. Show's about to end, so I just wanted to, I guess, end it here before we get cut off. So, we covered a lot. Super Bowl coming up next week. Well, 2 weeks from yesterday. Hopefully we'll – you guys didn't accept my invite officially. I don't know what's going on there. all right. I guess that's the show. We need some outro music. We got to work on that
just
for next week.
Play the same thing. Play the same thing that we came into. Right. That was a really good – I like that. That really fits as well. Break it down and degenerate and stuff.
What to do.
Yeah.
think you could tell us what to wear?
Good night, everyone.
Hate it.
You said that you're better.
Signing off.
Well, you better.